Yoni was just saying about tomorrow, it's a very important thing, and I want to reiterate it because it's been said a few times. The Torah speaks about the 3 days, the Shlosh Yimei Hagbalah, as a time we're meant to prepare for Har Sinai. And it talks about being Mekadesh ourselves, sanctifying ourselves. Yom Matan Torah isn't just the day when the Torah was given. It's the day when we stood before God by the mountain when the Torah was given. And you have that opportunity here, by the mountain. And Rashi says on the Pasuk that it says, V'gama ko'anim ani gashim al Hashem yitkadashu. Those who are drawing close should sanctify themselves. Rashi says, you mizumanim, they should be ready, lihityatsev alamdan, to stand in a clear way in the place where they are. The Shlosh Yimei Hagbalah is where we get ready, we get focused on the place we stand. And for those who don't know, you know, one term we use is Matan Torah, but another term we use is Ma'amad Har Sinai. Dvarim Perek Dal, it says, V'odatem levanecha v'levanei vanecha, Yom asher amadeta lifnei Hashem alokecha b'chorev. The day when you stood there, when we were ready to stand there. The Shlosh Yimei Hagbalah were today, tomorrow, and Shabbos. And so it really is very important for a person to get into the Shavuot mindset to prepare during these days. And the best way is by learning. And that's why I asked Rav Meir when I saw him today to come back tomorrow to give another push. And he's busy, he's here, he's there, but he agreed. So Rav Meir's shiur tomorrow isn't meant to be to check the box of having a shiur in the morning and move on. It's meant to be the beginning of a day of learning and focus. And even though it's Friday, and as we know, it says somewhere in the Torah, it's usher to learn on Friday, in more than an hour. I think it says that when Friday falls out, Erev Shavuos, you can make an exception. So I want to tell everyone, we're Matir Neder, Rav Bezdin, you'll all stand up, I'll sit down with two other people, say Mutalach, 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 then we'll stand up, Mutalach, Mutalach. Okay, so Mutalach. Let's all prepare for Shavuot properly. Lulei Torah Chababa Shavashu Hambama Wadva.
You give me a wooden chair, this is broken.
Talks about Rosh Hashanah as being parallel to Shavuot. Shavuot and Rosh Hashanah. Which is a surprising thing. Because I would not have assumed that you would put Rosh Hashanah in the same breath as Shavuot. And why does it talk about it this way? So we all know the Mishnah in Rosh Hashanah, which talks about how there are four Rosh Hashanah. Four, not two. But the Gemara in Megillah talks about Shavuot and Rosh Hashanah as the two Rosh Hashanah where we have to finish reading the Kalalot in the Torah and read another parsha before. Gemara in Megillah, Daf Lamed Aleph, Tanya Reb Shimon Elazar Omer, Ezra Tikkun Lehem LeYisrael, Sheyehu Korin Kalalot Shebetoras Kohanim Kodem Atzeres, V'shebeMishneh Torah Kodem Rosh Hashanah. Why? My time. Amar Abai Vitim Resh Lakish Kadesha Tichla Hashanah Vekilosa. We want to make sure the year and its klalot is finished before we move on to the new year. And that's why we make sure to finish reading Kitavo, Klolos and Sefer Devarim, and then to read another parsha before we get to Rosh Hashanah. And the same thing, by Shavuot. We want to finish reading the Klolot in Bechukosa and then read another parsha. So the first thing that's surprising here is that we're setting up Shavuot as Rosh Hashanah, as a Rosh Hashanah that should be relevant with Klolos. Look, Shavuot is when the world is judged for Peros HaIlan. Okay, I was thinking about this today when I went to get one of those nectarines, you know, from Uzi's supplementary stock that comes out, you know, after the hordes finish. You know, so Uzi sneaks in the nectarines. So I walked over to get a nectarine. So I saw Nisim. Where's Nisim? Is he here? I saw Nisim there. I said, Nisim, how are the nectarines? He said, good if you can find one that's not crushed. Right? It's Rosh Hashanah for Peros HaIlan. This becomes Yom HaDin. It becomes, we want to get rid of the klalos. How is it Yom HaDin for us? It's Rosh Hashanah v'Peros HaIlan. But that's what it says here. So the Shlach HaKadosh writes very powerfully. He writes, Rosh Hashanah is the Yom HaDin for our direction in life. Our identity. Kabbalah Zalmach Shemayim. Okay, we talked about Rosh Hashanah. Everyone knows what that means. Shavuos, says the Shalah, is the Yom HaDin for Limud HaTorah. And the question is, what does that mean? What does it mean, the Yom HaDin for Limud HaTorah? Why does Limud HaTorah need Yom HaDin? So the first thing you see, even before you have an explanation, is that there's our direction in life and there's our Limud HaTorah. And one of the things you learn in Yeshiva is that Limud HaTorah is a core component of identity. It's not just a mitzvah. The Talmud Torah connected kulam. And though being in yeshiva helps you understand that, we need to understand what we understand. And if there's a time to do that, it's Shavuos. It's the days preparing for Shavuos. And I want to add another point about this, which is very important. Not only do we want to get the klalos out of the way before Shoshana and Shavuot, but we want to add another parsha in. And obviously the other parsha isn't just a buffer. It's meant to be the parsha that prepares us. So for example, the parsha we read before Rosh Hashanah is Atem Nitzavim Ayom. And not coincidentally, it has in it Parsha Satshuva. If you want to prepare for Rosh Hashanah, learn Parsha Nitzavim. The question is, what about Parsha Bamidbar? Is Parsha Bamidbar meant to prepare us for Matan Torah? It's always read the Shabbos for Shavuos. Or right before, or, you know, you can have Nassau right before, but I'm saying it's right before Shavuos. And that's why Chutz La'aretz finally had to catch up last week. This, you know, we're reading a different parsha thing, all that stuff, came to an end last week. Why? Parsha Bamidbar, we have to read before Shavuos. A priori, you look at it, doesn't seem to have anything to do with Kabbalah Sator. But Chazal understood that it does. Chazal understood that the word Midbar, Bamidbar, is a crucial backdrop for being able to be Mekabel Torah. Pasuk in Sefer Bamidbar, which describes Matana being received from Midbar, Mi Midbar Matana, Mi Matana Nachliel, Machliel Bamot. The Gemara Nedarim says, Kevan She'osa Adam et Atzmo Ke Midbar. When a person is able to make himself like a Midbar, Shehu Mufkar Lakol, that he's totally hefker to everyone, to everything. Torah nitnlo b'matana. That's when you get the gift of Torah. And then the Gemara continues and says, v'kevin shenitnlo b'matana, and when you receive this gift, nachaloel, your inheritance is God, umi matana nachliel, umi nachliel b'mot, because kevin shenachaloel, olo l'gdula. You start from the midbar, you have the nachala, you have the matana, the nachala, the rise up. But it all starts with midbar. If a person wants to prepare himself for Kabbalah HaTorah, the way you do it is by being a Midbar. And I think none of us would have assumed this to be the answer to the question of how you prepare for Matan Torah. You become like a Midbar. But the Gemara understood, I think partly based on Parshas Bamidbar's placement, that it is so. And the question is why and what this means. So there's a lot to say about these things, but I want to cut right to what I believe is the core of the issue on Shavuot and about Matan Torah. And there's a lot more to say, but the Torah, when it discusses the different Yamim Tovim, mentions different things by different Yamim Tovim. Even though they're all Yamim Tovim, they're very different. And maybe the clearest difference is the description of Simcha. The Torah mentions Simcha by the Yom Tovim 4 times. 3 of them, Sukkos. The very famous pasuk, V'samachta b'chagecha, there's a whole thing in between, but we skip it for the song, right? Atah v'incha v'itecha v'ayita ach sameach is by Sukkos. Everyone sings it on every Yom Tov, but it's by Sukkos. U'smachtem l'fnei Hashem l'okechem shivas yomim, Sukkos. There's only one time where the Torah mentions Simcha by Yom Tov that's not Sukkos. And it's Shavuos. So to a certain extent, Sukkos is obviously special. It's Man Simchasenu. But Shavuos is unique. Because it's the only other Yom Tov where Simcha is mentioned. And there's a Gemara in Pesachim, which, you know, everyone knows and realizes, even if they don't fully appreciate the Gemara. There's a Gemara in Pesachim, which is maybe the most important source regarding Shavuos. Not just the halachic side, but the part that's developing. The Gemara there is talking about how Yom Tov should be celebrated. The Torah sometimes talks about Yom Tov being Lashem and sometimes talks about it being Lochem. So Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua have a machlokes about the proper way to observe Yom Tov. So Rabbi Eliezer says either Kulu Lashem or Kulu Lochem. Yom Tov has to be different. And the only way it can be different is a super spiritual party or a super physical party. But then Rabbi Yeshua says Chalkeu. Chetzi l'Hashem and chetzi l'Hashem. Two psukim, so do half and half. That's the machlokas. So if you think about it, you can't be mekayim both. Because Rabbi Eliezer says one or the other, and Yeshua says half and half. You can't be machmir here. So that's why the Amoraim get involved. Amar Rabbi Lazar, Hakol modim ba'atzeres, atzeres yishvuis. Everyone agrees by Atzeres that you need, which one would you think the Gemara would say you need by Atzeres? The spiritual or the physical?
The spiritual.
You think the spiritual. What does it say? Hakol modim by Atzeres debina nami lochem. Everyone agrees on Shavuos you have to have physicality. Now what's even more interesting than what the Gemara says is how it justifies it. My taima, yom shenitna bo torahu. It's the day when the Torah was given. Now, if you had to complete the sentence and say, Shavuos is the day the Torah was given, and therefore you need, would you say physical or spiritual? I would think spiritual. So what's Pshat? Shavuos is the day when the Torah was given, and therefore you need physical? Now the Chorah, this would justify a little bit the gorging parties that go on in shuls in a lot of places, right? You wonder whether people are coming for all night learning or coming for all night, you know, whatever. A bunch of years ago, I spent Shavuos in Yilk. Those who know it, I think Yilk is well known as being the top of the line Shavuos night refreshment scene. It's unfair to call it refreshments, because refreshments is, it means like bamba. I'm talking like, you know, and if I'm not mistaken, it's Milchiks and Fleishiks. Mamish. It was interesting because I think the Shiurim were good. And people were very excited, but right after the Shiur ended, boom! You know what I'm trying to say? You get out there! The waffle, the pancakes, yes, you know. And you know, you could think, Chmein, you know, what's it, Shavuos? Being a Nami Lacham! That's what it says. So Rashi explains this very powerfully. Being a Nami Lacham, Sheyismach bo b'machol u'v'mishta, you should celebrate on Shavuot with good food and drink. L'harot shenoach u'mekubal yom zeh li'Yisrael shenitna Torah bo. Shavuot is not just to commemorate the fact that the Torah was given. It's to celebrate the fact that the Torah was given. And the way we celebrate is not through spirituality. We should try and infuse spirituality. But we know the way we show simcha. And the best way to show our appreciation of how lucky we are that we have Torah is through physicality. It's through pankekim. I'm not going to say the best way to show it is dairy. Because that is definitely not true. Okay? So that may be clear. Have a pankekim. Yom Shlishi Baboker, Sperim. Again, there's one din of pancake, there's another din when you have the chocolate syrup and the maple syrup. Which is really torn, because you want the maple syrup because it's Messiah. You have pancakes, you use maple syrup. And there's a certain taste of maple syrup that can't be replaced with anything else. On the other hand, chocolate. You know what I'm trying to say? Chocolate is chocolate. It's a different targa. So what do you have to do? You take a plate, you put maple syrup on one side, chocolate on the other side. Not next to each other. Next to each other, you get Ein Marv and Simcha B'Simcha. Everybody knows you're having hot dog and french fries. You don't put the ketchup next to the mustard. So what you do, you get the maple syrup on one side, you cut a little piece of pancake, you put in the maple syrup, just to get started on the right foot. And then you go for the thick and rich and chocolate on the other side. Trace is thinking, I've been here 2 years, I never thought of that. It's too late now, I have no more Yom Shlishim. Okay, there has to be strategy here. So we have to be able to show our appreciation for it. And then the Gemara tells a story, which I find very interesting. And it's my favorite Shavuah story. The Gemara says, Rabbi Yosef was a person who had a very interesting relationship with Shavuos, with Torah. Because he knew a lot of Torah and forgot a lot of Torah. He blind in the end of his life, etc. And unfortunately, I don't know how to say this better than I'm about to say it. We only appreciate things truly when we lose them. Think about something you've lost. And it's sad. And hopefully we don't have to lose something to appreciate it. Or we do, but hopefully we can appreciate it somewhat without losing it. Imagine. If Chas V'Shalom, it's not you, someone else, woke up tomorrow and couldn't remember what they had learned. Would you appreciate what you learned? And I'll tell you something interesting. My son, I have a son who is 10 years old. He's very intense. You know what I mean, Yaakov? So tonight he was in a bad mood. Bad mood. He's scowling. I don't know a 10-year-old could scowl, but he's scowling. I said, Yaakov, what's wrong? He goes, I'm forgetting what I'm learning. He's upset, angry. I said, first of all, who are you angry at? He doesn't know. You're 10 years old. You don't have to have an answer for that question. He said, I'm angry. I said, so fine. I don't have time for Chazara. I was thinking to myself, how can we hold this in a bottle so that when he's 14, he'll still feel this way? Why is it that we lose that pure appreciation of the things that are valuable? So Rav Yosef had this appreciation. And the Gemara tells the story. Rav Yosef, Biyoma de Atzarato and Shavuos, Amar, he said to his waiter in the house, whatever it was, Avdi li igla tilsa, make me a sandwich of three meats. You have to be in yeshiva long enough to have the proper nose bud for that. When I was in yeshiva, there was a rumor that a few years before I went to yeshiva, guys were so desperate for some good meat that they pulled their money together and had a lottery and picked someone whose job it was to fly back to New York, go directly to Shmuelke Bernstein's, fill his suitcase with meat sandwiches, and come back. He could not pass go. He could not collect $200. He could not visit his family. There's a reason, Magdimin, the meat sandwiches. Now, whether it was true or not is less important than the fact that it could have been true. And you know, if we could put people in the yeshiva where they wouldn't learn Torah for a year and then they would appreciate learning Torah, maybe that would be Shana Aleph. You know what I'm trying to say? But the appreciation of meat. Now, Rav Yosef predated the notion that developed in the 80s of a double meat sandwich. Because when I was a kid, you had to choose. It's going to be corned beef or pastrami. You can't have them both. If you say to the waiter, I'd like a little corned beef and a little pastrami. We don't, you know, you have corned beef or pastrami. You only order two sandwiches, you can order two sandwiches. No, I want two sandwiches. I want a corned beef and pastrami sandwich. Three meat sandwich. Mishige. We don't even have a third meat that goes with corned beef and pastrami. Turkey? Turkey with corned beef and pastrami. I was at a wedding, right? You have a carving station. How can you be metame a carving station that has corned beef and pastrami with turkey? Pasnished. Put the turkey near the sushi. For the kleinekite. Corned beef and pastrami. Three meats? Where would you get three meats from? That's what this is. Three River Stadium. Right? What's it? Three River Stadium. The Susquehanna. What are the other two? The Susquehanna and two other rivers. Okay. The Susquehanna and two other rivers. Okay. Three meets. And when he explained why, he said the following. Amar, ilo hayoma de kagorim kame Yosef iko b'shuka. If not, for what this day has caused, there's a lot of Yosefs out there. And, you know, it sounds like a cute statement, but I want to delve into it. What Rav Yosef was saying is, this day made me more than just another average Joe. And to put it into context, right? And what he's expressing and what he's relating to is people's need to feel special. If you think about ultimately what drives people, people want to feel special. People want to feel that they're not just another Joe. And that's the difference between people and animals. Monkeys don't feel, I don't have a strong enough identity. I'm a monkey, I eat bananas. You like me, you don't like me, I didn't have an article, I don't have a blog. And the whole Facebook and blog, etc., has reinforced this sense of I need to matter. Human beings are created with a need to matter. We're supposed to. It's a real emotion. And everyone looks for a way. And when they find it, they try and convince everyone else that that should be the most important thing, because that makes me, you know, I'm trying to say, my project, my thing, my this. And it's amazing the silly things people find. Again, I want you to understand. The Guinness Book of World Records. Why does it exist? Why did it not exist 200 years ago? How come there was nobody recording the guy who could stick the highest number of bottle caps in his ear? How come nobody was recording that 200 years ago? I think that's a very important statistic. The answer was, people didn't emphasize it as much. Everybody has to have their own record. If you can't stick the highest number of bottle caps in your ear, stick the highest number of bottle caps up your nose. If you can't do that, find another bodily organ. And that's why people have to constantly find new places to pierce themselves. An earring? That doesn't make me special. I'm going to pierce over here. Now other people are doing that, I'll pierce my tongue. What kind of mishugan pierces their tongue? I don't understand. It's mamish. Chaman al tzlan. Yisurin. Could you imagine? It's there your whole life. You have a hole in your tongue. The Torah says you pierce your ear for an eved nirtza. Sadeh, what difference does it make? Who uses this part of your ear? My tongue? Really? I have an idea. Pierce my hand. I'm going to have a hole right up my hand. We'll go straight through the veins and the arteries and nerves. No problem. Boom. Look at me. I have a hole in my hand. I'm holy. I'm going to be special. I'm going to have a video that's going to go viral. I'm going to have my moment. I'm the person who had the video that went special in Ukraine and etc. People want to feel special. And very often we reinforce what we do as special in order to feel that we're special because we do it. Which is, of course, cyclical. And Rav Yosef is saying something very powerful and profound. I don't understand. If not for Shavuos, I would be nothing. I know a lot of very halakha Jews. Maybe the most famous Jew in the history of the United States, a real Joe. G.I. Joe is not real. Just for people to know. No matter how many TV shows and cartoons, there's no guy whose last name is Joe. G.I. Joe. Ain't the Arkansas, right? But Joe DiMaggio. Oh. Joe D. He's a baseball player. The great Joe D. You don't like baseball? You have football. Joe Montana. Oh, the catch. Dwight Clark. Before your time. Back at the end zone. Saw it live. On Matzei Shabbos. The catch. And why does it call it the catch? It's chalois. It's a chalois. There was a home run hit by the New York Giants, Bobby Thompson. The shot heard around the world. Really? It's a chalois. It makes you feel significant that you're attached to it. I was in somebody's home. They have a picture on their wall of Mookie Wilson running to first base as the ball's going under Bill Buckner's legs. And not just a picture. Signed by Mookie Wilson. Chardas Kodesh. Now I want you to know I saw that live too. Just parenthetically, I'll say that year was Simchas Torah. You know, you remember you're old enough? It was Simchas Torah. The Mets were losing 3-2. I was at Chaim Berlin, back office. Someone comes in, the Mets lost. That's normal. If you're a Mets fan, you expect to hear the word Mets and lost in the same sentence. Okay, it's not a nace, it's a push. Okay. A few minutes later, someone walks in, the Mets are rallying. It's a stira. So I say, someone said, where's the info coming from? Go down to the corner, there's a bar. I go down to the, I'm not going to win the bar. I'm not English. I'm saying, you know. No offense to the English guys, but when I went to England, they told me, you know, you wear a dinner jacket. I was wearing a dinner jacket. I could run in, but it was in England, and I'm not English. I couldn't go in. Okay. So I get to the bar, and it's amazing because it's near Chaim Berlin. There's two windows outside the bar, one women, one men. We might be watching television on Shabbos, but we're doing it snus. Okay. So I went to the man window, and I got to see the play live. Which means my life matters. Before that, didn't matter. Had I missed it, but I got to see it, my life matters. I don't yet have a signed picture on my wall, but I'm striving. We'll get into this. Joe Montana. What the Gemara is saying here, what Rav Yosef is saying is, there are a lot of Joes that we attribute value to that really aren't valuable. That really aren't valuable. What gives person value? Now, you can talk about what you do with your life, and you can talk about what you have, how you develop yourself as a person. We do not believe that there's nothing of value in this world. If a person becomes a doctor, it's always the example given, right? But there's other things. If a person contributes in a meaningful way to the world, that's valuable. But the question is who you are as a person. What you have under the hood. I want to use that term because what you have under the hood isn't just how fast you go. It's a din in the cheftza. So, you know, during Ben Hazman, I went to visit my parents in Orlando. And so we took the kids one day to Epcot. So they have a thing you can design your own car, which is very hard for a brisker. You want speed or durability? You want... For the first time in my whole life, I started thinking about something which I really don't care about. You know what I'm saying? Because a car for me is what gets me from here to here. That's why it's very hard for me to figure out what car to buy. What are you looking for? What am I looking for? A car that can take me from here, I'm going to park it over here, I'm going to get out. The car's long ago stopped being that. It's the CD player, the seat, the massage in the seat, you know what I'm saying? Because people can't just have something that's functional. And what I realize about cars is not just what it does, it's what it is. It's the car's identity. You didn't know a car has an identity, did you? Just ask Herbie. It's an identity. In our world, everything has to have an identity because we've lost our own, so we have to attribute identity to other things. But human beings, it's not just what you can do, it's who you are. It's your depth. It's your richness. It's your persona. And Torah is the only way, says Rabbi Yosef, to really distinguish yourself in a way that gives you the depth that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us the potential to have. Ilav hayoma de kagorim kama Yosef iku b'shuka. And I think about this very often. Now, you guys are young. People say it to you all the time, you're young, right? And more important than just the age of your cell matter, is stage-wise, you still haven't lived enough years out of high school to see how the choices people make determine who you and your friends are long-term. You haven't diverged long enough yet. I have. And I get to run into from time to time peers of mine and where they are. And I remember who they were and where they are. And what's cool about it is that, see, today, all your friends you're in WhatsApp with and Facebook with and the email with, or, you know, 14 of the above 18. When I moved to Eretz Yisrael 26 years ago, I fell off the end of the world. And all the people I had a relationship with, done. There's no way they don't communicate, finished. Most of the people I knew in high school, I haven't seen for 26 years. Or, excuse me, 30 years. And I bump into them from time to time. And all of a sudden, boom. Where were you here? Where are you now? And I can see who people are. I think less about what people are doing. Usually people identify themselves in life by what we do. I'm a lawyer. I'm an accountant. But that's just a mask for not having to see what you really are under the hood. When I interact with people, I want to see who they are, not what they do. And you talk about who are you? What's your life up to? It's not what you do, it's who you are. It's who you are. There's some people, they can talk to you about their trade, they can talk to you about the news, they can talk to you about 10 topics. There's one thing they can't talk to you about, themselves. It's all the projection. Torah is the blueprint for the creation of the world and the creation of man. When you learn Torah, you're connecting and deepening your own existence. And that explains the very important sources in the beginning of the sixth Perek of Avos. For those who don't know, you know, we learn Pirkei Avos between Pesach and Shavuot, and there are usually six Shabbatot. This year there are seven, if you're in Eretz Yisrael, right? Because you start, it's Yom Tov Sheni, it's Shabbos, you start Eretz Yisrael. There are only five Perkim of Avos. The sixth Perek was added by Chazal for the sixth Shabbos. The importance of that is, it was added with Hinani Muchan Mezuman to be the Shabbos before Shavuos. And it's about Torah, not surprisingly. And it's called Kinyan Torah. And before the Mishnayos start discussing the things you need to do in order to acquire Torah, they begin by discussing what you're trying to acquire. And the reason that's important is, if you do not appreciate what Torah is, there's no way you're ever going to acquire it properly. Because what it takes to acquire Torah and what it takes to internalize Torah is a deep appreciation of what it offers. And there are things that the Mishnayot write here that are way out of the zone of what we can appreciate. But hopefully we can understand that there are things we're not appreciating. Rav Weinfeld and I were once having a discussion about tshuva. So he said to me, a very important backdrop to tshuva is a person feeling pain over the mistakes they make. I said, I agree with you. But part of the problem is that people have a hard time feeling that pain. We have a hard time feeling pain over the mistakes we make. We live in a society that doesn't believe in pain. So he said to me, If we can't feel pain over the mistakes we make, at least we should feel pain about the fact that we don't feel pain over the mistakes we make. And of course I said back to him, if we don't feel pain over the fact that we don't feel pain, we should feel pain over the fact that we don't feel pain for the fact that we don't feel pain. And the point is clear. It could be we don't appreciate what Torah is, but we should appreciate that we don't appreciate it. The Mishnah says, Rabbi Meir Omer, Kol ha'osek b'Torah l'shma zocha l'dvarim harbe. It's a shweki song. Someone's going to second out after. Where's Gadelsky? Someone will send it out afterwards, right? Kol ha'osek b'Torah l'shma zocha l'dvarim harbe. Anyone who's involved in learning Torah for the right reason merits many things. V'lo od, and it gives a whole list, v'lo od. Ela shekol ha'olam kulo kedai hu lo. The whole world is kedai for him. The world doesn't see itself as being about the facilitation of learning God's wisdom. Do we? Do we see learning Torah as not just gaining what we gain through the process, but being the culmination of why the world exists? Gemara of Adazara Daf Gimel, Vayerev Vayivoker Yom Hashishi, as opposed to Yom Rishon, Yom Echad, Yom Sheni, Yom Hashishi. Gemara of Adazara says it's referring to Vav Sivan. Melamed Sheis Nagadosh Baruch Hu Mabriya. Kadosh Baruch Hu made a condition with the creation. If there'll be Kabbalah Satorah, the world will exist. And if not, Ani Machzir L'Tovavo. Really? That the learning of Torah is the destiny, is the reason why it's here, is what the world is trying to facilitate. Really? And the Mishnah gives a whole list of all the things a person who learns accomplishes. Nikra Rea, he can be a true friend. Ahuv, he can be truly appreciated. Oev esamakom, oev esabrias, mesameach esamakom. And the whole list is worth learning. The whole list is worth learning. And then it says, listen carefully. Umigadalto, umiromamto, al kol ha'maasim. It makes you greater and higher than all of creation. How many of us believe that learning Torah makes us greater and higher than the rest of creation? How many of us function that way? If we believed it, how would we learn? Not just how often would we learn, how would we learn? The kind of pride. Rav Hadari believed it. He didn't have to tell you. You felt it. Umegadalto, umeramamto, al kol ha'masim. Ata v'chartanu mikol ha'amim. Ahavta otanu. Vetzita banu. V'romamtanu mikol ha'masim. Torah gives us the ability to be higher. You're not allowed to talk that way today. It sounds racist. To be higher? Ubermensch? Mm-hmm. It's not talking about something inbred. It's talking about when you're involved in the activity. Umigadalto, umiromamto, akolamas. And this is exactly what Rav Yosef meant. How do I know? Because Rashi writes in the Gemara, Ilav hayoma, Shalamadati Torah v'nit romamti. Hare anashim harbe b'shuk sheshman Yosef u'ma b'ni levenam. How many of us this year have had the opportunity to feel higher? Not in a condescending way to somebody else. That's where our ego is mezayif, the feeling of Torah. To feel higher than we feel when we're not learning. I want you to know, I'm tired. I'm not tired of something. I'm just physically exhausted. And the last thing I want to do right now is get on a plane and go anywhere. Nothing to do with England. And last year I had the great schus of being able to spend Shavuos here. And I hope next year I can too. I hope, you know, God will decide what he wants for me. But, you know, if I'm allowed to root for something. And, you know, I told someone today that a couple of years ago when I spent Shavuos abroad, so I said, Rebbe, you here for Shavuos? I said, not this year. He goes, yeah. I'm like, it's one thing you don't like me, but is it so bad that you have to get rid of me? He goes, you'll give a sicha before, right? Like, probably. He goes, the problem is when you're here for Shavuos, you're talking Shavuos, we can't record it. Oh my God, this is too much. This is too much. You understand what I'm trying to say? So, I don't know if we're happy or we're sad, but I'm sad. And last year was such an inspiring thing for me to be able to be opposite the Har Hashem. If I could be selfish. Something strange happened to me this year. My wife and I went to Mefer Shabbos. I gave a shir. A guy comes up to me and goes, Rebbe, I have no idea who he is. Now I know his name, but I'm like, Rebbe, thank you for reminding me. I'm like, nice to meet you, what's your name? You know, like, he tells me his name. I said, can you explain to me what you're talking about? He goes, you don't know who I am. I said, Dad, I know. But you came to Borum Wood 4 years ago for Shavuos. I said, that I remember. He said, you won't remember me because I sat in the back row. And I don't have a background in Torah. But the Torah you taught made me feel higher. And I decided then, I can live my life on a higher level. My wife and I decided we're making Aliyah. And I want to continue pursuing Torah. I work, I have a job, but I want to learn more in my life. Now, I'm not that good. But for this guy, I touched him. And he said, I want you to know there's three other families. Now, I don't know if Rabbi Cantor Revich had this planned or not, but that night he called me and asked me to come for Shavuos. And we say, no. It's like one of those God freak out things. You understand what I'm trying to say? Think you realize? I say no, I get hit by lightning. I'll tell you guys a story, okay? One time, many years ago, I couldn't go to Toronto any other time, but right in the middle of the time I needed to be in New York. Now that's a real tircha. I mean, you gotta go to the airport with your car, park it in the airport parking, you gotta go fly out there, you gotta fly back, I gotta get the car again, I'm gonna shake it. You know, if I'm going, it should be before or after. But I had no choice. I had a Shiloh on Friday. What should I do on Friday? I should do X, I should do Y. And I'm thinking to myself, I don't think it's worth it for me to do that on Friday when I come back. Maybe yes, maybe no, I'm not sure. Whatever, it's not important, I don't want to use names. So I fly to Toronto, I do what I have to do there. Come back to New York, pick up the car from the parking lot. And the second I get off the plane, it hits me. I return the keys for the New York rental car in Toronto. Now the good news is I have keys for a Toronto rental car. The bad news is it won't start this car. And you know how you realize, it hits you right at the moment when there's nothing more you can do. Now, there was no way God could have given me a clearer message that I was not meant to do what I was thinking of doing on Friday than that. Because I spent the day figuring out how to get this rental car out of the parking lot and back to the rental car across the street. Who, of course, don't have another key. You can put the pieces together. God sometimes tells you things clearly. It's only when we're not interested in hearing that we don't see. We've all had moments where Torah makes us feel higher. But the problem is that the highs don't always last as long as we'd like. We get caught up in Narishkeit. Rabbi say, when Rav Yosef says that Torah is what distinguishes you, he doesn't just mean Torah as opposed to baseball or football. He also means Torah as opposed to all the shtuyot guys in Shana Aleph get caught up in that they think are what defines you besides what you have under the hood. And part of the musa you should take when thinking about Shavuos is what really matters? What really matters. What do you have under the hood? There's a very powerful song that Mir Hashem Yehuda will send out afterwards. Yehuda and I share this song. It's called the Joe DiMaggio card. And for those who are holding a little bit in Narishkeit, and they have to hold a little bit in Narishkeit, you know. A Joe DiMaggio card is worth money. A lot of money. Starts at $500,000. Okay? And there's a story, true story. Two kids growing up, Lower East Side. And their friends, they play baseball, and one of them got a Joe DiMaggio card. This is his life. He has a Joe DiMaggio card. And, you know, the kids grew up. The kid without the card became a Rosh Hashiva. He had nothing to live for, so beside him. The other kid, you know, he became whatever he became. And right there in life. And the whole life, this guy with the Joe DiMaggio card, people are coming to him, sell the cards. This is his essence. You don't sell your essence. What are you, crazy? One day, you know, he's following his friend. His friend has a yeshiva and they're learning Torah. And one day, he reads in the paper that the Rosh Hashiva's yeshiva burnt down. And he feels terrible and he decides it's time to sell the card. Now, you have to understand, you're selling what you've seen as your essence since you were 8 years old. He sells the card, he donates money. And the song ends, one day my grandson came home from yeshiva, excited with the card in his hand. He said, "Look, Zaidi, it's a Reb Shmuel card. It's a card of his friend, you know, the Rosh Hashiva. And I want to give it to you." He said, I took that card and put it away in my drawer where I had the Joe DiMaggio card. Now, you know, a Reb Shmuel card does not sell for $500,000. But the problem is when how much people are willing to pay something determines the value we attribute to it. And then we wonder why our values are whatever the values of the people around us are. Rashi has a very powerful interpretation of Rav Yosef's words. When Rav Yosef said, "Ilav hayoma de kagarim," if not for what this day has caused, "Kama Yosef ika b'shuka," I would say, "What's hayoma? What's hayoma? Vav Sivan, 3,500 years ago." Rashi says, "Ilav hayoma." Shelamadati Torah v'nitromamti. If not for the days that I learned Torah and raised myself up, Kama Yosef Yika B'Shuka. Matan Torah didn't change any of us. We know because we remember what we were a little while ago. What gives you the potential to be someone is every day you invest. Ilav hay Torah shenit v'mamti. Yom shenit v'mamti. Shelamadati Torah v'nit v'mamti. When we talk about Shavuot being the Yom HaDin v'limit HaTorah, it's not the grub version. You have a little notebook, how much was I mevatel Torah, etc. It's the Ha'arochas HaTorah. It's the ability to look back at your year and ask yourself, what was the value of the days that I learned? What was the value of other things that I did? To compare what a person gained from those experiences. Who am I today? To what extent have those days of investment made me someone more valuable? It's not to appreciate the Torah. It's to appreciate who we become by learning Torah. Who we've become by learning Torah. Who we can become by learning Torah. To not be embarrassed to believe that we have and can become higher. You have to know that. Because if you don't, you won't strive for it. And Yom Adin, lest we think it's just about happy times, the next Mishnah in the sixth Perek of Avos says something intimidating. Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, again, Mishnayos added Amoroyim, Bichol Yom V'Yom Hayoma Bichol Yom V'Yom Bat Kol Yotzeit Mehar Chorev. A Bat Kol comes out from Har Sinai. Umachrezet V'Omeret, and it announces and says, Oy Lehem Lebriot Me'el Bona Shel Torah. Woe to the creations of God, Briot, Shebranu L'Chvodo, why we're created, Me'el Bona Shel Torah, from the insult to Torah. Shekol mi she'eno osek b'Torah, nikra nazuf. Because a person who is not osek b'Torah is rejected. She'ne'amar nezem zov bi'af chazir, a golden nose ring in the nose of a pig. Isha yafa v'saratam, a pretty woman without tact. When the Basco says, Oy lehem lebrios me'el bona shel Torah, Shekol mi she'eno osek b'Torah nikra nazuf. Is it referring to non-Jewish people who don't know what the Torah is? Of course not. How could they be nazuf? Is it referring to non-religious Jews who sadly haven't had a chance to be exposed to Torah? Of course not. What is their fault? Is it referring to religious Jews who've never had a taste of what Torah can mean from them? Of course not. How can you blame them? Some guy in the 18th level shiur in his high school, who, you know, learning Gemara is a worksheet, or, you know, talking about last night's hockey game. How can you blame him for not appreciating Torah? Who is this Mishnah talking about? People who get it, but don't get it. People who understand what it can mean, but don't take advantage. Nezem zov biaf chazir. A golden nose ring is a beautiful thing. But to see it in the nose of a pig? What does it mean when someone knows how to learn, carries Torah, but he's a pig? He's a pig as far as his midas. He's a pig as far as his appreciation of what learning Torah can mean for him. We have to think about this. We have to think about this. Who are we? Are we higher people? Do we appreciate that Torah can make us higher? Do we take the responsibility of learning Torah as being higher? Are we embarrassed because we don't really believe? We can't fully accept that Torah makes us higher and that it's Torah that makes one higher. Because we haven't internalized it, because we've been infected by the world around us. Isha yafa v'saras tam. You see a beautiful person, you see a good-looking lady. You're attracted. You assume the person is valuable. Let's say you go talk to them and you see they're a disgusting person. It doesn't fit. Someone who looks pretty. It should be Tachlo Kibaro. Person who can learn Torah doesn't appreciate it. Isha yafa v'saras tam. And the Mishnah continues and says, "Va'luchos." The writing on the luchos was charis she'en lecha ben chorah l'mi she'osek b'Torah. She'kol mi she'osek b'Torah hareze mit'ale. Red Bull. I remember when they first came out with Red Bull. They're trying to convince people to drink this, you know, potion. Why would any normal person drink such a thing? So the commercials were, it gives you wings. I'm from Israel. Red Bull Oselcha Knafayim. Now, do people actually think they would get wings? Were they Red Bull people jumping off roofs? Now, if they weren't getting wings, what the hell does that mean? You're going to get wings? What does that mean? Chicken wings? Red Bull wings? What's pshat? I feel this, you know. Hi. Raise him a dollar. When you hear that chiluk, a good chiluk, when you appreciate a real pshat and a pasuk, it doesn't compare with other things. When you learn your own Torah in a meaningful way. You know, today, I don't know what it was. Norman said it's because it was Thursday. Somehow, people in my shiur, they were spaced out. And the air conditioning was on. Norman says it was Thursday. You know how I can tell? Because we're learning good stuff. And people aren't sniffing it, you know? Because I know what it looks like when a person gets a piece of Torah. I know what it looks like on each one of you. I know what it means for you to be Mesala. And that's a bond of Rebbe and Talmud. Relationship with the Rebbe. Play patty cakes. Patty cake bakers, man. Could be your Rebbe as fast as you can. Have a relationship. Ready? Kesha with the Rebbe. I can put my arm around you and me. Right? Oh, Kesha. Around. Yeah, nice. A real Kesha with a Rebbe is where a Rebbe has touched your soul with Torah. And the more times that happens, the more Kesha you have. I mean real Kesha. I don't mean Kesha. Seminary. You know, sometimes in yeshiva, you have a Kesha with someone. You have a Kesha. Put your arm around you, put your arm around him, you ate pizza together, shindigged, this, you know that. And later you feel you don't have a Kesha. You want to know why it's not a Kesha. It's just a hanging out together thing. A Kesha is a Torah. You share something of depth, you have a Kesha. The more depth you share, the more Kesha. That's why Keshas wear off, unless they're real. The number one reason people aren't impacted by Torah the way they should be when they're learning it is because they're already full of themselves. If a person feels, basically, my life is good, I got it going, I play ball well, I'm good looking, I still have hair, people are friendly with me, I'm on a good career path, everything's fine. If a person feels everything's fine, Torah cannot possibly be more than an added on veneer. There's no room. There's no room. In the same way we talk about our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, if a person feels they exist on their own two feet and they're not dependent on anything beyond themselves, there's no room for God. We make room for God when we realize that we depend on other things. That we depend on God for our food, we depend on God for our life. And that's why we attribute, it's so important to attribute so much in our lives to recognize Tov Lo Das Hashem. A person who's full of himself, Torah can't help him. It can't mean anything. I'm already all full of myself. In order for Torah to touch someone, they have to feel that they need to be touched, that they're looking for something more than what they have already. And you know, I can say the same piece of Torah to two different people. One person, the other person, well, thank you very much, Rabbi. You understand what I'm trying to say? No matter what you tell that person, it cannot make a difference. Because he's already there. And if you've ever had this experience of sharing a meaningful piece of Torah with a person who can't possibly have anything mean anything to them, you know what I'm talking about. It doesn't matter what you come with. Unless you break them down. The klalos of Parshas Bichukosai are based on a person not having a following relationship with God. The number one word in Parshas Bichukosai is halicha. In Bichukosai telechu, halachta mimi keri, lo halachta mimi, ken halachta mimi. Look it up. The whole second part of Sefer Vayikra, Bichukosai amos elechu, is a person following. And the way you follow God's Facebook is Torah. אם בחוקות זה תלכו, שתהיו המילים בתורה. And that's why the parsha that separates the klalos from shvuos is Bamidbar. Because like the Gemara says in Nedarim, if you want to be able to rise up through Torah, you have to be a Midbar first. To read the Lashon of the Gemara again, Mai dichsevu v'midbar matana u'mimatana nachliel u'minachliel bamot. Midbar matana, matana nachliel, nachliel bamot. Kevan she'os adam es atzmo kemidbar shehu mufkar lakol. Torah nitenes lo b'matana. She'nemar u'mimidbar matana v'kevan she'nitna lo b'matana nachlo el she'nemar matana nachliel. V'kevan she'nachlo el olo l'gdula. And it's exactly this pasuk. The second Mishnah in the sixth parak of Avos builds upon. Kol mi she'osik b'torah harei ze mis'ale. She'ne'emar u'mimatana nachliel u'minachliel bamot. But it starts by Midbar. A person is Mufkar. A person is a Mekabel. A person is always in a state where they're thirsty and hungry and open for more. One of the biggest problems in life is having a teretz. Because if you have a teretz, you can't have a kash. They say Rav Soloveitchik wouldn't take notes, burnt his notes, I don't know. He wanted to be able to learn the sugya again from scratch. How many times we have pshat and pasuk already, we can't hear pshat and pasuk. We have pshat in ourselves, we can't hear pshat in ourselves. We know already. We know already. And sometimes the Torah penetrates us to a point where it causes us to say, wait a second, maybe I don't know already. But then we close back up. We don't want to feel like we're not there yet. And we just, you know, demystified Torah. We took all the power out of it at that moment. The Yom HaDin is on the one hand to appreciate what we gained out of the moments that we learned. To appreciate what we could have and should have gained out of the moments that we learned. What we could have and should have gained out of the moments we didn't learn. And most importantly, what that means for us moving on. And, you know, on the one hand, I don't want to say it, but I do want to say it. And I'm going to say it because it's L'Toelis for you. I'm responsible for you guys. Better, for worse. It's my family. And whatever you feel, you don't feel. This is my, you know, this is what I invest in each one of you. Your highs are my highs, your lows are my lows. When you go through stages you need to pull away, you take a piece of my heart with you. That's how it is. I wouldn't want it any other way. So I want to tell you that my life today is working with you. If there's 24 hours in a day, and I'm up 17 of them, maybe 14 to 15 is you. I'm not exaggerating. Because when I'm driving, I'm thinking of you. When I'm eating lunch, I'm thinking of you. When I'm talking to the Rebbe about you, I have no life. But that's what I believe I'm supposed to do. Ashreini. Right? I'm lucky, I'm happy. I was talking to Ben Baruch today after the staff meeting about a guy, Daniel Yav, went to yeshiva a number of years ago. I can't believe he's out of yeshiva so long. Ben doesn't know. I can't believe it. It feels like he was here yesterday. You know Yav, right? You don't know Yav either. Shimmer. So you know Yav. It feels like yesterday. Told my family, I meet guys who don't know each other from yeshiva. It's a weird thing for me because I feel, how can my son not know my other son? You know what I'm trying to say? So I tell it to Ellis. You know, so I was in Elizabeth for Shabbos. And there was a guy who knew me from yeshiva many years ago. And he said, you know, people know Rabbi Tarragon today, what he does, Vechule was involved in, etc. He goes, I will tell you what I remember. And it reminded me of something I want to share with you. Rav Tarragon was in the Beis Medrash as a married person with six children, 12 o'clock at night, 12:30 at night. Erev Shabbos till Shkia. It's true. I have an Eishes Chayil. I would come home for Shabbos if I wasn't finished yet. And sometimes I didn't have time to shower. Thankfully, I don't smell. I'm not getting into that. I don't wear deodorant. Never have. Not because I don't care about people. I don't smell. I don't smell. I'm not getting into coast-to-coast minhagim in yeshivas. I'm not getting into that stuff. You know, Thursday nights in yeshivas where we went coast-to-coast, it didn't smell well. But it wasn't me. Okay. I want you to think it's not Mechabit Shabbos. I just, you know, I don't smell. What can I do? I don't smell. Sometimes you have on these trips, you know, you're running from place to place and vechula, and you can't shower and etc. And I say, thank God. Thank God. And I can't live that way today because I have responsibilities. I have guys WhatsApping me, you know, 2 minutes before Shabbos, trying to get the question back. I'm like, well, okay. But I remember, and that's what I want for you, to not only appreciate what Torah is, but to be able to express it. And each one of you have had the moments where you felt that, to internalize it, to express it, to translate it. And if you have trouble sometimes feeling it consistently and translating it, then part of the Yom HaDin is to figure out how you're going to do that. How am I going to do that? How am I going to channel that? Because why should I live the rest of my life missing out on that special feeling of what I can and should be? Because I know what I can and should be. And every one of you, multiple times this year, not just learned by smother, but knows what you can be and therefore should be. Don't allow that to be lost by you. Shavuos is the Rosh Hashanah, the Yom HaDin for Liman HaTorah, to make sure to grab that and not let it go. Ilav hayoma shalamadati Torah v'nit ramamti. And woe, and how sad it is for Jews, for people who've never had a moment like that. And every one of you knows what it means to have a moment like that, and you're responsible to make sure other Jews can have moments like that. And the more you can, the more responsible you are. And that's why I have the koach. I have responsibility. If I can inspire, I have to inspire someone. I have to. You have to. But first you have to take it for yourself. Don't let go. Because when you let go, it leaves you so fast. And all that's left is a safer on the shelf. Don't let go. Reflect upon the Hayomas and think on Shavuos when you're celebrating that by learning and by eating fleishiks. The only thing good about milchiks is that you can eat fleishiks after. Okay? Which is okay. I'm a kabbal fan. Celebrate it by eating fleishiks. Celebrate it by learning and make a cheshbon about where it goes. Oilem lebrias me'el bona shel Torah, the elbow. Because when you know what it means and you don't take advantage of it. Ki dvar Hashem baza, Gemara in Sanhedrin daf tzadi tes. It's an insult to Torah not just to say in Torah min ha-shamayim. Kol she'ef shelo la'asuk b'torah ve'ino osik. And you not only have the possibility of being osik, you have an appreciation of what being osik means. The words I'm reading in the Mishnahs, you know what they mean. You didn't last year, but you know now. Ashreichem! Ashreinu ma'tov chalkeinu! There should be no greater, happier day in the year than Shavuos for a Ben Torah. Sukkot, everyone's happy because we all have yavul and we all have produce, and it's a simcha for everybody. It can be an amaret. You have fruit. You appreciate that Hashem gave it to you. Everyone has business. Everyone makes money. You appreciate it on Sukkot. But on Shavuos, it's weird when you have balabatim in shul who don't really know anything about Torah, but it's Shavuos, right? So you get some kind of cool topic. Is that what I'm trying to say? Okay, Torah in the 86th century. Okay, electronic cars. Cool. Electronic cars in halacha. It's a gimmick. You know, we need a gimmick for the balabatim. We need a gimmick. Because Torah. When I went to Borehamwood last time, what did it was this. Lectures. I said, let me make a suggestion. Give me one slot just to learn with people. Not a lecture. I'm going to sit and learn. We're going to open up Svar. We're going to learn. It's going to be a chabur. I said to the rabbi. That was it. The people remember the chabur. We're going to learn together. I said to one of the guys, what's pshat? He goes, what's pshat? What does pshat mean? What do you mean pshat? What does it mean? What does it mean to you? To give people a chance to taste it. Tamuru. Lo says tam b'dvarav. It's gishpak. There are days I walk out of shiur, I say, come on, it's gishmak. It's tasty Torah. And you know, despite all the responsibilities I have, I have to give shiur. I didn't give shiur. I wouldn't be able to do it. It's my drugs, you know what I'm saying? My bracha to all of you is become addicted to the thing that gives you the only real significantly meaningful high, that gives you a true identity and meaning and depth, a godly depth, that gives you something under the hood, that gives you something that's your conversation for life, that gives you meaning, that gives you the ability to interact with people on a meaningful level. Every conversation I have with a Ben Torah is a meaningful conversation. Because he'll say something to me, I'll say something back. He'll say something back, ooh, I'll say, and I care. Because it's in my soul. It's a piece of Torah. Every plane ride I take, I have something meaningful to be involved in. Every moment of my life, I have the ability to be involved in something meaningful. I wish it to you. But it doesn't come from a trip. It comes from appreciating the past and internalizing it in the present and future. And the more you do it, the more it becomes part of you. In a way that you can't appreciate other things anymore. I'll explain what I mean. I was talking to one of the guys here. He said, Over Ben Azmanim, I went to a basketball game with my family. It just didn't mean the same thing to me anymore. I like basketball. I like playing basketball. I like watching basketball. It's fun. It's nice. The team won. They lost. It wasn't as exciting for me anymore. What happened? No one in yeshiva told him don't like basketball anymore. Nothing wrong with liking basketball. Just you've developed higher taste. When you go home, or back to America, or England, whatever you want to say, and you have a real corned beef sandwich, you can't come the next week here and have Friday and Thursday subs. Because you get reminded of what non-frozen meat tastes like. Ones that don't come in those boxes the circles are inside. Now again, my shaila is this. Mamanafshach, if you're making the meat in the shape of a square, it belongs in a square box. But if it's in the shape of a circle, it should be a circle box. So the whole hakira of, can you fit the circle in the square? Just look at the Thursday meat! It's a circle in a square! Let's try with that. Think of the wasted space. Once you've tasted corned beef, real corned beef, you can't go back and eat subs here. only place where you can do it is mustard. Because the fancier the mustard is, the more disgusting it is. You ever have those fancy mustards? I'm like, why do people buy these things? So that the back of your refrigerator becomes stuffed with stuff and nothing else will go to the back, so you can keep the stuff at the front? What is it, a place filler in your fridge? What if you could just buy like a cardboard piece to fill the back of your fridge and nothing would go to the back? Would you need to buy that irrelevant mustard? It's unbelievable. Why do they produce that? It's either Shvatash or Tzar Balechaim, depending on what's inside of it. It's unbelievable. The French are to blame for it. That's why on the regular Pashita mustard, it says American mustard. I know what that means. Pashita Zach. Not getting complicated. Why don't you need all the Dijon? I'm trying to put on a hot dog. You know what I'm saying? I'm an American. I'm not a deep person. I voted for Trump. You know what I'm saying? I give a simple mustard. I need fancy schmancy leftist mustard. You know what I'm saying? I have simple right wing mustard. It goes on my hot dog. I vote for Trump. You know what I'm saying? I don't try and complicate my life with French mustard. And again, sometimes people look for sophisticated things like mustard because they want to feel, mustard. Mustard. People have a yearning for sophistication. It's meant to be filled with Torah. And he felt this year, the more esoteric something you learn is, the more out of your zone it is. You touch on a kachim sukkah, you know, something like that. You touch outside your zone. You feel like you're treading in something special. I have a shiur I give on Shavuos about Shtei Alechem. I can't ever give it. Who am I going to teach Shtei Alechem? The Chakira, the relationship to Shtei Alechem, the Kipsi Atzeres, the Dinim, etc., and Menoches. It's all this. I think it's on Y'u Torah, the shiur Shtei Alechem. So, a Rav wrote me today. Now I know all the rabbis, and one of all the rabbis writes me today. He goes, I saw your Makari shiur on Shtei Alechem. I want to give it on Shavuos night. You have it written up. I wrote back. I spent all my free time writing that up. He goes, oh, where it is? I'm like, okay, he didn't get the text message. I'm like, it's not written up. One of these organizations said, Rabbi, we need your Dvar Torah on Shavuos. Can you give us Dvar Torah on Shavuos? I said, I have no time. Please, we need your Dvar Torah on Shavuos. I'm like, should I just say in the same response? Can I click reply and copy and paste? I said, I'll tell you what. I will read you a Dvar Torah and you'll write it up. I think like this is a joke, right? You go, yeah, wonderful. I'm like, oh, no, I gotta read you a Dvar Torah. It's appearing in the Five Towns Journal and all the shuls in the Five Towns. Shuls, I don't know. Whatever. I did not write it. I said it. I did write it. Oh, the Shtei Alechem. He goes, you have your eyes. He says, I'll just have to listen to the shir. The guy writes to me, so I write back. Woe is to you. So he writes back a couple hours and goes, what a geschmack of sheer! I mean, it didn't sound that way, but I could feel it that way. So what do you write back to that? It's like, Achen. The conversation was in Hebrew. Achen. I figured he'll leave me alone now. Meaning, if I write anything else, I'm going to get a response, I'm going to have to respond, I'm going to, you know, that's why they made the images. You know what I'm saying? It kind of ends the conversation. No response. That's it, done. Smile. You go like this, it's like, okay, conversation's over. Two of them, it's over for a week. I give you two thumbs. There's no, you don't say anything if you got two thumbs. You're satisfied. You walk away with the two thumbs. You got a pair of thumbs. You're done. I'm hoping I'm free from this Shtei Alechem guy until at least after Yom Tov. I think there's a Makor issue. You can learn the Makor on Shtei Alechem tomorrow. It's in the Shi'ez Gashmaka Menoches. Glal toy, the goal of it, the technical relationship. But I'm saying, remember that. Go into Shavuos like a shmak Torah. Don't learn B'kiyos tomorrow. You understand my point? It's like having turkey sub sandwiches. But I say, for better or for worse, Ashrechem that you got to experience Torah on a high level. What are you going to do with it? We all know the Gemara in Brachos Daf Yud Zayin, Rabbi Yochanan, when he finished Sefer Iyov, quite the Sefer. At least Rabbi Yochanan finished it. He Sefer Iyov makes you think about life and death. And what you realize after you read Sefer Iyov is we're all going to die. We try to ignore that because Western society has no good answer for it, but it's true. Now, Jacob just asked Mrs. Shem, we're all going to die. Not only that, but essentially, if our life means nothing more than that of an animal, our death means nothing more than that of an animal. And Rabbi Yochanan says, Sof Adam Lamus, Sof Abahem Al-Shechita, Omedes. Hakol L'Miseim Omdin. Taxes are avoidable. Get a good Jewish accountant. Asher Misha Gadol B'Torah, Amad B'Torah, Kosim Echazim. What do you invest in? Yom Adin for Limud Torah. Rosh Hashanah is where we reflect on our direction and identity. Torah is where we reflect on what we have under the hood. If you have a car that can do 0 to 60 in 1.2 seconds, it's a shame to be, you know, driving Bekias. You know what I'm saying? If you want to ride like you're in a Fiat, buy a Fiat. You guys have been exposed to what a Mercedes is. Mercedes still considered good? They consider themselves good, that's for sure. I was talking to someone from Jacksonville recently. I said, you're to blame. One day people are going to think Jackson, the Jaguars are a football team. A Jaguar is a car. If you know what it is, you know what it is. Mishalo Tom, Tom doesn't know what it is. And people think it's an animal. They're mamish, like, you know, it's the 18th century. And by the way, being a Ben Torah, being a appreciation, you should have appreciation for things. It's mutter. Just know the difference between them. It's an amazing thing. Could you imagine Rav Nevensal asking not for ice cream, but for a triple meat sandwich? And they bring corned beef from pastrami. He's like, only two? Make me a new meat, man. Make me a new meat. When they bring out the dinner tomorrow on the first night Shavuos, that'll be milchik, so forget it. When they bring out the meal on the lunch on Shavuos, you take a look at it, you say, I don't see three meats over here, my friend. Let's go. Bring out the real deal. They promised me, by the way, they said there's this thing we have to eat milchik. I said, we don't have to eat milchik. We had a whole meeting about it. They said, we can make milchik's good. I'm like, you know that's an oxymoron, right? Milchik's good and doesn't. And mainly at home, you know, people can hoot it a little bit, make fancy. You're doing like institutional cooking milchiks. You're using words like quiche. You're using words like quiche, you've lost me. You lost me on the quiche. So you guys will let me know. Can you let me know in the feedback forms how the milchiks went. So, you know, I know for next year, you know, because I'll have an interest, a vested interest, you know, in making sure that, you know. Farish Gemara. Didn't say he asked for a three quiche sandwich. He doesn't say that. He's going to show it to the cook. Igla Tilsa, man. Ashrei mi shegod ba'torah, gamad ba'torah. And you know, the interface between having spent a year eating caviar and having done it opposite the Har Hashem, Yom Asher Amarta Lefnei Har Hashem, and to be able to celebrate Shavuos here, is the perfect storm. And you know, think of me having to lose it and appreciate what you have, okay? I'll take one for the team. It's called the Jewish team. I'm taking for the team. You guys have it. What are you doing with it? What's your tefillah going to be after all night learning in Shavuos? On the roof, Vasikin, you see the sunrise. Higher and higher. Ashrech Baruch Hakem Shabbat L'chvoy that I have the opportunity to be Nassim on the Torah Samus. Rosh Hashanah is not about appreciation. Rosh Hashanah is about thinking about your identity, your mission. Shavuos is about inhaling. Inhale, Rabbi. Yoga style. Torah. And again, Rav Yosef didn't say, Torah made me great. He said, if not for what I had learned, I wouldn't be special. There's no other way. It's the negation. It's the midbar sense. It's b'midbar. And you know, Shavuos is the only holiday named after the period of time preparing for it, right? Such a strange name. The holiday is called Weeks. I mean, it's just like a wimpy name for a holiday. You know? Weeks. Why is it named Weeks? Because we have weeks to prepare for it. And we have to count all the way, and we cannot pass go. And you got that strange, like, tomorrow night is 49, and we're finished Sfira, but it's not Shavuos yet. And not only that, but we can't start davening until it's mamish full night, because it has to be tmimis, right? Because you got to be fully ready. Completely ready, if I translate it exactly. We're going to celebrate the right thing at the right time, when we're ready. And you have 3 days to get ready. And one's already gone. This means to shlush ne'akbala, you know? To be misyatsev in a clear makom. To take a stance about yourself and about your Torah. To value your Torah. To evaluate and through that value your Torah. We don't do that. Shavuos is a day. And the fact that the way it works out in the Chutz Laretz yeshiva year, that Shavuos toward the end, that's a good thing. It's a good thing. And we'll talk Mirtz Hashem Kinos after Yom Tov Sheni about how to translate it for the last, you know, few weeks. People in yeshiva Shana Aleph or Shana Bet, we have people here, you know. Shana Bet, the year isn't over after Shavuos. I just want to let you know. I just want to clarify. I want to make sure. Fagin knows. You know, something. Okay. Weddings. Don't look at us. We're here for kites, man. Talk to the post-Pesach people. Purple people eaters. But, it's great. You know, we're at Rosh Hashanah at the beginning of the year. We got to, like, figure out what we mean. Shavuos to figure out what we've been doing here all year. Shouldn't be a passing high. And again, it's not just Torah is a great high. Torah is the only thing that builds a real core identity. Everything else is nafkamina. Ilav hayoma, kam yisiv. We should sing a little bit, Rabbi Yisai. We should sing a little bit about these things. And, you know, it's wonderful because we have tonight. And tomorrow night there'll be a Tish. And Mutz is Shabbos, you know, all night. Learning will be, before Avasikin. Mazer might be the chief rabbi, maybe coming to do with us a little Kumsitz. We found that he's going to be in town. We're trying to arrange it. And then you have Nios HaChag. We've got a few nights where we can really pack it in. And experiential stuff. Some you can record, some you can't record. Please do not record on Yom Tov. Let's sing a little bit. Let's take it in. Let's inhale. This is Mamish. Let's sing about Torah. Oh! Oh! There's no Simcha Kesimcha Satorah. Ain Simcha Kesimcha Satorah. I thank God, Baruch Hu, I have so many things to be happy in my life. But there's nothing that makes me happy like learning. There's nothing that makes me happy like a geschmack, a piece of Torah. And I want to wish that you should all get to that stage, because you know what it means to feel like that for a moment. But to get that way, mamish, it shvuas is, it's translating it, it's valuing, evaluating it, and valuing it. V'ro mamtanu mikol al shonos. Hashtag racist, baby. No, it's not racism, because we're not saying we're a better race. We're saying Torah gives it to you. Drug users. Hashtag drug users. Say yes to Torah. Umegadalto, umeramamto, akol amasin. It's to be greater and higher. Two different things. It's to be greater and higher. V'lo od ela shekol ha'olam kulo kedai hulo. These are the things maybe we know, maybe we've read, to internalize, to understand. Ashreinu matov chalkeinu. Ashreinu matov chalkeinu manoyim goyer aleinu. About two things here, two phrases. Ashreinu matov chelkeinu umanoyim goralenu. So first of all, we're talking about a chelek and a goral. A chelek is what we've received. A goral is what our destiny is. And I want you to understand what this means. You meet old people. What does life amount to? What do you have with you when you can't get out there and hit home runs? Steel bases. You can't get out. You're retired. What do you have? What do you have when it's all over? What do you have when there's nothing to accomplish? It's just what you have. What do you have when you're alone with yourself? Matov chelkeinu and goralenu. Where we're headed. Ashreichem, that you've discovered in yeshiva a little bit more, a central component of what your goral can and should be. If you appreciate it, you have something special in your future. Matov chalkin uma noyim goralino. Noyim. Noyim means sweet. The difference between something good and something sweet. Uma noyim goralino. Uma yofa yurushasenu. What we receive, what we pass on, what we can give to future generations. We have something real in our life. You know, people get into the culture they live. A person in the 60s, they're into 60s music. And, you know, free love, flower children. I'd say, like, you're weird, man. So I was speaking about Misora. you know, over Shabbos. So someone comes up to me and goes, I said, look, don't get too attached to your 60s music. You'll be irrelevant. Comes after me and goes, but Rabbi, the 60s music is so good. I'm like, you cannot be cured. There's nothing I can do for you. My work is done here. We have something that's eternal. We have something that's eternal. It'll always be relevant. You can always have a kesher with it. You know, we have to do a good job at Shiva HaKotel and making people feel there's a lot of people to talk to and a kesher in the beginning. So you have a lot of people on Madrich. Can we at least hope that you can become serious enough to understand what it should mean? Or does it have to remain the whole time, you know? Can it be real? Can it be real? Or it's not possible in your generation? Not possible, not possible. So keep enough people around for the people it's not possible for. Ashreinu matov chalkeinu manoim goraleinu. Torah is that we make more than one mitzvah, one bracha on it, more than one bracha. More than one bracha. We talked about it a little bit in the shir earlier this week. Rishonim ask, L'chor is a bracha l'batala. We make two brachas on one mitzvah. Two brachas, three brachas, depending on the vav or not. And l'chor, the simplest explanation is that Torah is a mitzvah that you can't make only one bracha on. Because it means too many different things. On the one hand, Torah is an expression of Asher Bachar Bano Mikol HaAmim, of being chosen, of having a special ability, And we have to give Shevach for Torah. We can't just say regular Bichas Mitzvah. On the other hand, the number one most basic and first reason a person should learn Torah is because it's a mitzvah. So which bracha should we make? The bracha that shows our recognition and our commitment to learning because it's a mitzvah, or the bracha that gives Shevach for the beauty of Torah? And the answer is we can't not make both of them. And then you have Harav in the middle. If a person is committed to Torah, willing to work, ready to do what it takes, they have the right to ask Hashem to help make it sweet. Help me get to the point where I can say Asher Bachar Bano with the full Kavanah. And the bracha of Harivna is so powerful because the ultimate goal is that we and our children and their children, very few times we talk about that in brachas, should be Yodei Shemecha Velom Dei Sarasecha, because the two are connected. The way we know God is through Torah. And the way we can get to a point where our children will appreciate what we have is if it's sweet for us. Your children see you learn because you have to, they're not going to want any part of it. Your children learn you learn because it's sweet. We ask Hashem, I'm committed. And now, if not, please. And you have to really want it, you have to really need it. This long-term vision. Like the Netziv's answer, Chaim Volozhin's answer, excuse me, to the Russian minister when they asked him, when do Jews start educating their children 20 years before they're born? You're late in educating your children, Rabbi say. Hashem Elokeinu, Hayayet Divrei Torasecha, Befinu, Befiyot Amcha Beis Yisrael, Hoy Harev, Hashem, Hashem Elokeinu, Hayayet Divrei Torasecha, Befiyanu, Befiyot, Beis Yisrael. Shagadel Batoyah. I think the reason the word brios is used here is because it's about the purpose of bria. It's about recognizing that we're created by someone for some purpose. Torah is the best expression, the amelis b'torah is the best expression of a recognition of the fact that we're created for a purpose and we're involved in something purposeful. Oylem lebrios mi'elbona shel Torah. Baruch Elokeinu Shebranu Lechvado. Behivdi lanu min atoim v'natan lanu Torat Emet. This is the words you should say with more kavana. These days, this day.
Oh, yeah.
Is to think about what's my Talmud Torah going to be next year? How much higher am I going to be in a year from now? Who do I want to be and how am I going to get there? And you know, we are great at making excuses. We live in a society that's about excuses. We can explain away and justify in 100 different ways why we're not going to be where we need to be. Let's think for ourselves how we can take control of our destiny, of our Goraleno, of our upcoming year. How are we going to make sure, if this is important enough to us, that it's going to be, that in a year from now we're going to look back and feel higher than we feel right now. Because we appreciate what it means to feel high, and we appreciate how we get there. That's the Yom HaDin of Shavuos. That's the Yom HaDin of Shavuos. Who are we going to be a year from now? We look back and we think, who were we a year before and who are we now? And we look forward and ask, who do we want to be a year from now and how are we going to make sure to be there? Chag Sameach. Chag Sameach. Peiros Eilam. There should be a lot of Peiros in the upcoming year. Yom HaDin for Peiros Eilam. Oh, Peiros Eilam. Sameach.
Shows is fast going on.